Let us all say amen. I want to thank the Lord for another opportunity that he has given unto us to study another portion of his word. I want to be thankful to all the brothers that have preceded me in making this worship service one that hopefully the Lord will be pleased with, that we're following an act in the Bible that we find in Acts 2:42 and verse 47, and that we will read from the Apostles' Doctrine on this afternoon, gave those the opportunity to share their blessings with the Lord, commune with the Lord in the Lord's Supper, prayer, and also thank our brother for leading us in praises to God. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, according to the Bible, we want you to become a Christian. As the Bible says in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, our desire is that you will be added to the church, those that the Bible says daily, such as should be saved. We want you to be saved from your past sins, and that only happens when one is obedient to God. And conclude that obedience in water baptism. We'll share that on this afternoon at the end of our message. Again, want to thank all those members from Highland Heights, and even those that may be with us on this afternoon as we study another portion of God's word. If he was with us on this morning, those that were worshiping with us, Highland Heights, and those that are sick and shut in on our conference call, and we spoke this morning from God's word, where Paul had spoke to the Christians, and 1 Timothy chapter 6, and our subject matter this morning was godliness with contentment is great gain. So we want to connect that message on this morning with this afternoon's message, and that we're looking in Philippians chapter 4. Thank the brother for reading the scriptures in our hearing. And our subject title on this afternoon is, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. So we talked this morning and gave the definition of the word contentment. But then, now, this afternoon, we want to look at the process of getting there to contentment. Yeah, it's a process that Paul identifies in Philippians, and we'll begin at verse number 4, and we'll look at the text this afternoon, and hopefully, as we learn from the Word of God, we'll see why Paul gave the statement when he says therewith to be. Basically, he's saying you ought to be content. And Paul said, in whatsoever state I'm in, I will be content. So we want to see the process of how Paul gets there, that we can make application so we can be there. As we talked this morning, when we looked at the word that we found in the Bible, as we defined the word contentment, meaning to be pleased and satisfied with what one has. How do you get there? How do I get to being pleased and satisfied with what I have? In verse number 4, Philippians 4, Paul began by saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. The word rejoice means to be feel that you are very happy about something. So Paul said that he rejoiced in the Lord always. So now, what is it that Paul is very happy about? What is the reason that I am happy? He answered it in the text that we find in verse number 4. He's rejoicing, or he's happy, because he's in the Lord. In verse number 3 of Philippians 4, Paul said those that were Christians that were laboring with him in the gospel Paul said, whose names are in the book of life. See, if your name is in the book of life, that means that you will spend eternity after this physical life with God. Your name is in the eternal book of life. And so that in itself is enough for me to rejoice always. Why? Because I'm in the Lord and my name is in the book of life. So when I get out of this tabernacle, when I get out of this body, and I'm laid to rest physically, my soul will be waiting for the Lord to call me because my name is in the book of life. So again, that means, as we talked about this morning, about godliness and contentment, that contentment has to do with the mindset of the Christian. Godliness, we talked about this morning, is not based on one's circumstances, because your circumstances may not be what you want them to be. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Paul identifies that. But again, Paul said he was very happy about his situation because he was in the Lord always. Always, he said. And he said, again, I say you ought to be happy. Then he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The word moderation means your gentleness. Yeah, you ought to have a spirit of gentleness. And that's something sometimes that we have to work on, we have to develop. But we want to develop a gentleness, a kindness. And Paul said that this gentleness that you carry as a Christian is known to those that come in contact with you. He said, why? Because the Lord is at hand. So again, not only am I happy because of the fact that I'm in the Lord always, that my name is in the book of life, but I'm working on being gentle to others. And then Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. To Paul now says, the word careful means when I can become afraid or nervous or best about, especially about things that may happen. You know, sometimes those of us that get ready to go to the doctor and we're going to have tests and we're going to have these things, if we're not careful, we can begin to worry. And again, we say that there's a difference between being concerned and being worried. Christians ought not to worry. Yes, we can be concerned, but again, worry carries with a negative disposition. You're going to the doctor, and I got a negative disposition that I'm going to get some bad results. That's worry. No, I'm concerned. I'm concerned, but I don't worry. Christians ought not to worry. Jesus made that clear to us in the Bible in Matthew chapter 6, and the verse is number 34, where Jesus said, take therefore no thought, that means worry, for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And so Paul says here that when it comes to things and situations, yeah, he said, we ought not to have anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Yeah, so I pray to God, but I also ask God to supply me with things. But Paul said, when you do it, make sure you have thanksgiving. It is a giving of thanks to God for my situation and my circumstances. He said, let your requests, that which we ask for, be made known unto God. And Brother Foreman, today, a perfect song for verse number 6, when he said, leave it there. Leave it there. So when we pray to God, see, that's where we have to not only sing in the spirit, but the Lord tells us not only when we sing, but the Bible tells us how to sing. Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, he said, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. When we sing, we got to have an understanding of what we are singing. So when I pray and offer supplication to the Lord, Paul said, let your request be made known to God, and then leave it there. You know, it's almost like you are delivering mail. You take the letter of the box, and you put it at the person's address, and you leave it there. You leave. And so the Lord wants us to place our concerns with him and leave it there. Thank you, Brother Foreman, for that excellent leading of songs on this afternoon, which connects with our message on this afternoon. And then he says, watch this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, you got to connect this lesson. Paul said, number one, I'm in the Lord always. My name is in the book of life, and I'm learning to be gentle to other people. Now, when it comes to the concerns that I have learned that I give those things to God. I pray to God, I ask to God for those things that I want, and I leave them there. And then Paul says, God has a peace. Yeah. The word keep in the text means the peace of God. The peace of God has a duty. Yeah. The peace of God, that's what Paul said, has a responsibility. What's the responsibility, Paul? The responsibility is to guard your heart and your mind, and it does it through Jesus Christ. See, that's why we ought not have that, it shouldn't elevate that we're worried about something. No. Why? Because I have the peace of God, and the peace of God has a responsibility, and that responsibility is to watch and protect my heart and my mind. Yeah. Yeah. That's what Paul said. The peace of God has a duty. Your duty, peace of God, is to make sure you watch my affections, you watch my mind, and it's done through Jesus Christ. Yeah. See, the word of God, word of Christ, is what is able to settle my affections, to calm me down, to not allow me to have that anxiety, and not to have me worried, not have my blood pressure up. Yeah. And all that stuff going on. Why? Because the peace of God, or the peace from God, has a responsibility to watch and protect my heart and my mind. And then Paul said, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. See, the way God helps me, the way the peace of God helps protect and to watch me, is when I'm thinking on the right things. Those things, things that are true, things that are honest, things that are righteous, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are honest report, those are the things that I think on. Yeah, I'm not thinking on carnal things. I'm not thinking on worldly things. I'm not thinking on secularly things. I'm not thinking on that self-gratification type of stuff. No, no, no. That's not where my mind at. So you got the word of God helps you by what you think on. Paul said, think on these things. That's how I connect with the peace of God when I'm thinking on the right thing. That's how it can protect me. The word of God protects me when I'm thinking on the right things. Yeah, the word of God has the ability to protect me. See, and the devil even knows that the word of God has the ability to do that. Because in Job, go to Job quickly, go to Job. And chapter 1, Job, Old Testament, chapter 1. And watch what Satan, the devil, said to God. When God inquired him about Job, verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschews evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, do it, Job. Fear God for not. Has not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. See, the devil understood. Going back to Philippians chapter 4, the devil understood that when you have a peace of God, the peace of God protects you. The devil identified that. You would have put a hedge around him. He ain't worried about that stuff. He ain't concerned about that stuff. You would have put a hedge around him. That's why his heart and his mind is at peace, because of what Job is thinking on. Then Paul said, verse 9, those things, what things, Paul, those things I just asked you to think about. He said, and then he put himself there as an example. He said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, he said, do it. And the God of peace shall be with you. Church, when we make application to the word of God, Paul said, then God's peace shall be with you. But if I'm not learning the word of God, if I'm not receiving the Word of God, if I'm not hearing the Word of God, if I'm not applying the Word of God, then I don't have the peace that God can give me. That peace of God is conditional that I'm making application to the Word of God. That's why every Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, we are, not I am, we are studying together the Word of God. Yes, we are studying the Word of God that we can apply the Word of God to our lives. So it's not just me teaching you something. We are studying. That's why Paul says, study. Who's doing it? Both of us. I'm teaching. I've applied it to my life. Now I'm teaching you so you can apply to your life. And then the only way we are approved to God, when we apply what God has said. So Paul said back in the Philippians letter, when you do this, then the peace of God shall be with you. And he says, but I rejoice. When we talked about joy, notice now, in the Lord, greatly. Yeah, see, I don't rejoice in the Lord a little bit. I'm not a little happy. I am very happy. Yeah, I am very happy because my happiness is not based on my situation. Yeah, it's not based on my condition. It's not based on my circumstances that I am. We'll talk about that in a minute when I get to our subject title. But Paul said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Paul said, you all would one that would offer me support. He said, but what happened was, I know what had happened now is your care for me has flourished again. But previously, I know you lacked opportunity. You didn't have the necessary things with you to do it. But now you're in a position now to help me again. The Paul said, but now, let me talk to you about what y'all going to give me. He said, not, verse 11, that I speak in respect of want. He said, and here's my title, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. There. In whatsoever state I am in. And the word state here means, Paul said, in whatsoever condition I am in, whatever my circumstances, what I have learned is to be content. Now, this content differs from the content in 1 Timothy 6. Yeah, different type of content. This word content means, Paul was saying, I have learned. Don't have nothing to do with nobody else. Don't have nothing to do with what the Philippian church can support me in. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever my condition, I have learned therewith to be content. The word content in this text means able to live without help or support from others. This content means I am able to live without help or support from others. In other words, Paul said, I have learned to become self-sufficient. Yeah. See, as a Christian, sometimes it is necessary that we learn how to make ends meet for ourselves. Yeah. I got to learn. Sometimes things may get hard. Things may get rough. But I've learned now, I don't complain to the Lord about things. You know, Christians ought not complain. That's sinful. 1 Corinthians 10. Yeah. Yeah. Not to complain. Not to complain. Don't complain about what's going on with you. Don't complain. Let me get Bible for that. In 1 Corinthians 10. Yeah. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10:10, he said, neither murmur, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And Paul told them concerning those in the Old Testament. He said, now, all these things happen unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. So Paul said, the thing that happened to them, that was our example. Don't murmur. Don't complain as a Christian. Sometimes we just have to, you know, they use the word, bite the bullet, suck it up, deal with it. Paul said, I've learned how to deal with it. Yeah, see, that's why when I learned to deal with it, then that's why Paul said he's content. Watch what he says, verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Paul said the word abased means to be brought to an humble condition, to be made low. Paul said, I know how to be made low. Then I also know how to have things in abundance. See, we got to learn as a Christian how to accept whatever conditions we are in. Don't complain about it. If God has blessed me with plenty, Paul said, I learned. I know how to deal with that. But also, when I'm down and God then humbled me, yeah, I've learned how to deal with that. He says, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both, notice this, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul said, I know how to live. The word of God has taught me. God has taught me. I know how to be full, and I know how when I'm hungry. I know how when I have things in abundance, and I also know when I'm in need of stuff. I'm suffering because I have a need. And then he says, as I come to a close, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. See, Paul said, when it comes to the fact that I may be hungry and I may be suffering need, I've learned this, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Now, the word strengthens here means to make stronger inwardly. What God does through the word of God, God will strengthen your purpose. Now, sometimes you can be going through stuff, and you're having a pity party. All you want is self-pity. And you're complaining. and talking about what people are not doing for you and how people are not helping you, then all of a sudden you see where you are and you make a decision. You know what? I'm finna get up and I'm finna get busy. And so what the Lord can do, when I go and read the Word of God, the Word of God has the ability to strengthen your purpose. You know, sometimes, you know, you know what? I'm going to get up, and I won't think about going to college. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to get my degree, and I'm going to get me a good job, and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to keep the Lord first while I'm doing it. God will strengthen your purpose that you can do those things. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, I know how to have it all, and I know how to have nothing. But what I learned also, at some point, I got to learn to be self-sufficient. I got to help myself. I'm not depending on nobody else. I got to help myself. Sometimes we don't get the help that we think we ought to have. Sometimes family members are not going to be there for us, and we expect them to be there. Yeah, sometimes people will fail you. People will let you down. But the Lord will never let you down. Why? Because the Lord has given us his word. And when I go study the word of God, when I go study about Job, when I study about other situations that people were in, you know, I remember what Paul said in his second letter. In his second letter, Paul gave us an example. And turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 here before I close and give the invitation this morning. Let me show us what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Yeah, Paul had some problems. In verse number 14, Paul said, and Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. He said, the Lord rewarded him according to his word. See, when people do stuff to you, don't worry about it. God's going to deal with them. He says, of whom be thou aware also, for he had greatly withstood our word. Not only that, he wouldn't listen to the word of God. He said, now know what Paul said. At my first answer, or my first request, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Sometimes you can reach out to people, nobody won't pick up the line. Nobody won't respond to the text. He said, now watch this here. This is attitude. He said, I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. In other words, those people I reached out for, and they wouldn't help me. I'm asking the Lord to get them a pass. Don't worry about it, Lord. I reached out to them. None of them responded to me. Watch verse 17. He said, notwithstanding, or nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. That's the part where Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. That's verse 18. Will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Yeah. So I know Paul said this here. I know the Lord stood with me. And Paul said, I had to preach to the Gentiles. God going to deliver me out of the mouth of the devil. Understand this here. Anything you're going through, don't matter. Don't matter. Pray to God. The Lord can deliver us out of any situation. And whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. That's my message this afternoon. If you're on the call, you're not a Christian. One becomes a Christian. We find in the Bible, in the book of Romans, in Romans 1, 15 and 16, how do one become a Christian? They must hear the gospel. Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried in a tomb, he rose again the third day. Then you must repent of your sin. You hear the gospel, you believe it, you must repent of your sin. Romans 2 and 4, Paul said, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So not only you hear the word of God, you believe the word of God. And then you make the confession of what you believe in your heart. You repent of your sin, you make the confession of what you believe in your heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's why Paul said in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's what you do. So you hear the gospel, believe the gospel, you repent of your sin, you confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And then Paul said, knowing that Christ, according to Romans 5, 6 through 8, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. And so my response to Christ dying for me, I died to sin. And that's what we find in Romans chapter 6, where he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead, notice we dead to sin, live any longer therein? How do I die to sin? He said, no, you're not. That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So what happens then, you need to be water baptized. You're on the call tonight. And you're buried with Christ. And when you're buried with Christ, the blood of Christ cleanses you of all your sins that you've done in this life up to this point. And then when you come up, you'll now have a newness of life. If you're on the call today and you want to obey the Lord, become a Christian, all you need to do, the person that invited you to the call, reach out to them. Have them reach out to us, and we'll make it happen. You can become a Christian. Yeah, and then you can have the Lord standing with you in your trials and tribulations. If you're subject to the invitation, as Brother Form will lead us this afternoon, we bid you to respond by hitting 5-star on your phone. Thank you very much for your listening ear.